Welcome to the Intertidal Talks podcast. I am Kendra, marine biologist and your host. This podcast is meant to teach, inform, and entertain you about all things marine science and conservation. If you are a marine scientist or advocate with a story to share, you can contact me at intertidaltalks@gmail.com. Want to join our marine science community? Join us at patreon.com/kendi_marinebio. Hello and welcome back to a new episode of Intertidal Talks. I'm very excited about today's episode and our guest. I think a lot of you may know who he is, but we have JC. So why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little about who you are, where you're from, and why you like marine science.
Awesome. Hi, everybody. My name is JC Dombrowski. I am a second year marine biology student at Cornell University. I'm actually from Atlanta. I was raised there, grew up whole life. It was great being in the South. I am at Cornell University currently, and I have a TikTok channel, which has almost 3 million followers. And I mostly talk about marine biology, organic chemistry, science, and stuff like that. So it's pretty fun.
That's awesome. What inspired you to do marine biology?
So marine biology was actually my mom's idea when it came to TikTok. I started off talking about colleges and how I got into schools and everything like that. Cause I had a pretty successful college app process, especially for being a lower income student, just doing everything on their own. I had a really successful college app experience. And so that's kind of how I got into it and started talking about everything. And then I kind of ran out of content by 3 months in. And I was like, Mom, I have no idea what to do. She's like, well, why don't you talk about your major? And I was like, maybe would people actually be interested in this? Cause I kind of grew up having all these marine bio facts. My family was just okay, Darwin, we don't care. Whatever. But I kind of got in front of a camera and started talking about it, and people really enjoyed it. And it kind of just ended up being one of my things. And it really led to a lot of success and growth in a short amount of time.
So good for your mom. Shout out to her. That's awesome. And so you're in your second year or second year. Okay. So a little sophomore.
Yeah, I know.
How has it been? Have you had a lot of lab experience? How has COVID affected schooling?
It's been okay. I actually have not had a lot of marine bio lab experience in college, but in high school, I was actually able to go to the Georgia Aquarium and go and visit their labs and do some time there. And I was also actually able to go to University of Georgia's, UGA's lab. They have a whole coastal island lab area. So I was actually able to spend almost 2 weeks there. And it was really great for my AP bio class. So that was a really cool experience that kind of solidified my understanding of okay, this is part of what the job will be like, this is what I'll be doing. And I really enjoy this, even the laboratory aspects of it. And it was so much fun. And so I kind of realized okay, I definitely can enjoy all the aspects of this. And so that's most of my lab experience to this point, because I'm actually taking most of my marine bio courses junior year summer before senior year at the Shoals Marine Lab, because Cornell has a private island, because of course Cornell does. One of those weird things. And so that's actually where I will be doing a lot of my marine bio classes. I've taken quite a few intro bio courses and intermediate level, but nothing specifically marine bio except for one oceanography class.
And for people listening, I just did a bunch of research into younger opportunities for people in middle and high school. They actually offer two different courses, well, technically three different courses for high school students. One's on sharks, skates, and rays, and the other is just an intro to marine science course, which is super cool because I'm from Arizona. I had nothing in high school.
Oh, wow.
I went into it with no experience at all other than I had gone to SeaWorld. And I worked with birds at zoo and I did musical theater. I knew nothing about the field. So I like hearing when other people have experience, because it is super, especially with COVID. I think that has really helped. That's awesome. Was it volunteering at Georgia Aquarium?
So the Georgia Aquarium was more so like I was actually dating a guy who worked, he was a dolphin trainer. And so he was able to take me back a couple times. I got to meet people and it was really cool. I got to go behind the scenes of the labs and like learn a lot, excuse me. And he was like, I know you're interested in inverts. And so if you ever want to like get into that, obviously like let me know. And so it was really about like, I just like ended up making a really lucky connection. And then another guy I dated, one of his close friends actually worked in the marketing and PR department of Georgia Aquarium as well. So it kind of just like ended up that I really made some great connections that I didn't intend to, but that's kind of how you end up finding great things when you're not really looking for it. And then the other lab experience at UGA was actually through my AP bio class. And so that was a really fun course, very difficult for my school, but really, really fun and rewarding. And so it was really cool.
Important takeaway that dating can lead to networking. I
I
love
know,
that.
exactly.
And from one invert person to another, which I love to see, what is like your invert of choice and why?
That is so difficult. I'd have to say there's three of them. I
Okay.
love octopuses. I hate that they're called octopuses. It should be called octopi. I will die on that hill. But I love octopuses. I think they're absolutely amazing. I love their ability to like manipulate their messenger RNA and everything. I find that so fascinating. I love how intelligent they are. I think that's such like a like an under like researched field. I think for one of my college app essays, actually, I think it was for Cornell, I was talking about octopuses and I was saying, I think like I ended it with like, when it comes to octopi or octopuses, the question is not how are they so smart, but how smart are they? Or no, it was, sorry, let me rephrase that. My question was like at the end, it was like, it's not how smart are they, but how are they so smart? Because they're structured nothing like us, and yet they're so intelligent with that decentralized nervous system and everything else like that. And I was like, these are the questions that Cornelians ask and if possible answer. So it's just this huge mystery that this organism that is so not structured like anything else with a high level of intelligence or cognitive ability in comparison to like mammals is so intelligent. So that's something I love. And then box jellyfish, because they are just
Very, yes.
so deadly for no reason. They eat plankton and like small fish. There's no reason for them to be that horrible. So I like that. They're just very
They're
extra creatures.
overpowered.
Exactly. And the fact that they're one of the only jellyfish with rudimentary eyes, I find very interesting. And they're one of the few jellyfish that has like the ability to like move on their own a little bit and like actually have like demonstrated like object avoidance, which I find interesting. And then I love nudibranchs, which as much as I love them, I still call them nudibranches for little years. I know, and oh, and horseshoe crabs, which I actually have a tattoo of on my wrist. So,
Yes, they're so cute. Oh my goodness.
kind of all over the place, I guess, when it comes to inverts. But that's my spiel.
Let's
Love
get
all of them.
they're literally all over the place.
I
It's
know,
very hard to
exactly.
pick, I think, top. And about just cephalopods, I don't know if you saw, but there was maybe you probably did, but there was like the cuttlefish that passed this like marshmallow
Yeah.
intelligence test. That was super cool this
I know,
week.
that's crazy. Oh my God. They're so, I love cuttlefish. Oh, they're just so
I have
fascinating.
a friend who's obsessed with cuttlefish, but in Hawaii, I have a lot of experience with octopus and like holding them and messing with them for like students. And even box jellyfish, we have like a subspecies kind of. They're not as venomous, so a lot of us have gotten stung, but they don't kill you there, which is nice.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
Low bar, you don't get killed, but.
low ball. They still sting very, very bad and it hurts like hell. And on a dive, I had two people get stung on the face from one
Oh God.
just because you get caught up in it. But yeah, there's a lot of things in Hawaii actually that are not as venomous as they are in other places, which is funny. Like we have cone snails, which I've gotten stung or jabbed by a cone
Oh
snail because I didn't know what it was. And I just
gosh.
picked it up and I was like, ooh, pretty. And
Oh
then we have Portuguese man o' war.
no. Oh, I've gotten stung
And
by those
I
before.
have like taken them and like done it
Oh.
to myself because I was like, oh, this doesn't hurt.
Oh.
and people were like, don't those kill you? I'm like, not
Well, you have an
here.
allergic reaction, so.
My best friend actually, she gets really allergic,
Oh
like
no.
scars, and needs to take Benadryl because yeah, it's wild.
Oh my
But they're
God.
so cool and they're so pretty. I
They're
love man o'
beautiful.
wars. But yeah, same with, like, it's so funny when people, because, like, you're, it's just completely different environments, how the animals are structured.
Exactly.
But inverts, I love inverts. Charismatic megafauna gets so much attention.
I know, exactly.
Which, yay, because it gets a lot of people in the field. It got me in the field. But then I always, like, people should keep their mind open because inverts are so fascinating.
See, that's where I started, was with, like, I grew up watching the, like, Blue Planet, like, documentary, mm-hmm. David Attenborough. I never, like, really watched, like, kid shows. Not to be like, I'm not like other kids, but, like, I just did. I just watched, like, a lot of nature documentaries and stuff. And so I always, like, grew up, I was like, they had, like, this one, like, segment where it was, like, Janulus sea slugs, mm-hmm. and another one, I forget which other species it was, but just ever since that, I was, like, obsessed with sea slugs, like, just immediately. And I've always, like, been an invert person. I've started getting more into whales and other cetaceans and stuff, but, like, always started off with, like, those types of things.
Which I love that. I definitely was into charismatic mega killer whales are, like, my call to action. And I work in killer whale conservation, so I still am with charismatic megafauna, but I grew up with, like, Free Willy, Flipper. I went to SeaWorld like every year, and I was like, I'm gonna be a dolphin trainer. Just kidding. But, like, so many people have those stories that it is really interesting to hear a vice versa of, like, oh, I was watching documentaries and I genuinely was like, oh, little inverts, or ooh, I liked kelp forests, like, things that are very different.
Exactly.
But everyone has a different, I say, call to action in the field. And, like, sharks are becoming a huge one now, which is awesome. I have a ton of it. Like, sharks are awesome. So you're on the East Coast. I think you're the first person I've talked to on here that isn't on the West Coast in the Pacific to some degree.
Oh, wow.
Which is exciting because a lot of things become the same old with species. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, what are, you go to the beach, like, what are cool things you've seen? What kind of, like, cetaceans are up there? Like,
oh yeah. So I go to North Carolina every summer. That's where I do, like, a lot of, I spend a lot of time, do a lot of volunteering there. When I'm there, it's so fun and, like, beautiful. That's where, like, most of my beach experiences. And there are just some of the most beautiful. I found, like, horseshoe crabs, lots of fishing. I mean, only catch and release, but I love, mm-hmm. like, doing that, looking at all different species I get and stuff. And you can go, like, there's always, like, bottlenose dolphins or, like, the most beautiful, like, creatures to see, and sea turtles. I love, like, seeing, oh my, there was one time I stayed up for, like, a whole, like, 24 hours just, like, waiting for these sea turtles to, like, hatch. Because there's usually people there who, like, will volunteer and, like, make sure they hatch and everything, and they go into the ocean because the island that I stay on always has, like, a lot of sea turtle nests. Mm-hmm. So I love that. That's so much fun. And then I did go to Key West last summer. Very exciting. It was absolutely beautiful. And I went on a shark tour and I saw bull sharks, which was so cool. So just interesting species. And what else did I see? There were so many interesting things. There was, like, all different types of parrotfish and wrasse, because I actually went on a, like, snorkeling trip, and it was, like, the first time I'd been, like, snorkeling, like, in one of the barrier reefs. It was so, like, beautiful, and the water was, like, warm and tropical. I felt like I was in, like, the Caribbean, I mean, basically. But it was beautiful, and it was so cool. It was like I was actually in, like, one of those nature documentaries, like, with all the fish there and all the diversity and the bright colors and everything else. I was just like, oh my god, this is, like, real. Like, it's not on a screen for the first time. And it was crazy.
No, I've never done anything in Florida, and that's, like, one of my, like, bucket list dive spots, and just to go explore because it's so beautiful. It's so different, like, from Hawaii. A lot of people think, when they think of, like, oh, I want to go to Hawaii and see the coral, a lot of our corals are rock corals, so they're really ugly. And people come, they're like, your reefs are ugly, and one, they're kind of, a lot of them are dead, but two, it's all rock. It's like, we don't have the soft, pretty, billowing corals. And, like, Florida, Bahamas, and then going to, like, Great Barrier Reef in Australia, those are, like, the dream reefs.
Exactly.
But with horseshoe crabs, before we get into something else, what is it with horseshoe crabs that you are, like, in love with and so fascinated about?
I just love that for over 400 million years they're relatively unchanged. They are just so in tune to their environment, and they're just one of the unsung heroes, I think, of not just nature, but of human development. Like, every freaking vaccine, every single medical trial and test is run by these guys, like almost all of them, like so many medical innovations are run through these guys, and because of their special blood, and they're just so like underhyped, and they do not get the credit they deserve for being so amazing and important and helpful. And it's like they deserve more appreciation, and I love how awesome they are and how much like they help us. They're absolutely amazing creatures, and they're just so unique and beautiful and interesting, and just I feel like there's so much that we don't talk about with them. And like considering like everything they've done for us as a species, we're so fixated on like dolphins and like whales and like, yeah, that's great, that's cool, awesome, like love them, but like they're not like helping us fight COVID or like other like, yeah, they, I don't know, they just deserve a little bit more credit, so I love them.
Well, it's the thing, there's so many invert species that are tied to having really great medicinal value. There's a girl that I have seen and like kind of met via TikTok who does research, medical research on sponges, mm-hmm. which is super cool. And then I think the Chasing Coral documentary talks about how some corals have been tied and are being studied for cancer treatment.
Yeah.
And so it's really cool. And a lot of people don't know about that. And about horseshoe crab, they have like that blue blood. It kind of looks like the milk from Star Wars is what I think of.
Exactly.
Like I learned about it in my invert class, and it was so weird to see the videos of them just like being harvested and milked. And then
I know it's crazy. I've done a couple videos about them. Did you ever watch The Devil Wears Prada?
Yes.
Okay. There's this one video, I will send it to you, but it is one of my favorite videos I've ever made. It's not my largest video, but basically this guy, it was just like a shell or a carapace or whatever, thankfully, mm-hmm. but it was a horseshoe crab on the beach. And he like, it was like a shell, but he's like screwed this animal and like steps on its shell. And I like basically, so gross, like boy things.
Why?
I don't know, idiot. But so I ended up like modifying the like cerulean monologue or whatever, and like all about horseshoe crabs, and just like drag him and listed all the different things they do and how important they are, how we started using them. It was one of my favorite videos I've ever made.
That's so funny.
Just I love horseshoe crabs. They don't get enough credit. People don't appreciate them enough. And
yeah. So do you know like the conservation status of them? I know that's kind of discussed a bit in the like whether it's ethical and sustainable to be harvesting them the way that they are.
Yeah, it's tough because in some areas like Asia, they are really, really struggling population-wise. Now on the East Coast, it's a different story because like horseshoe crabs are harvested and collected and then released. But I think it's like roughly 20% or so actually die after being released from the harvesting. They just can't handle it, which like, obviously you're having something shoved into your back and your blood being milked. Like, yeah, probably not the best.
It may have a negative impact.
Exactly. And so scientists are actually working to artificially synthesize like their blood to like work, but it's hard. It's mm-hmm. a lot of time and money, and it's very intensive. More expensive. And so I think eventually we are going to see a breakthrough in a couple years. I think it's very similar to squalane, and mm-hmm. that in the cosmetic industry, slowly we're going to make that shift as like going green and conservation becomes more popularized and there's more funding. But currently they're like near threatened. It's very up in the air and ambiguous because we don't do enough research on them. Like most inverts, we don't pay them enough attention.
Yeah. And
so it's like kind of complicated, but it's
like some areas it's like data deficient, but then
exactly
keep going, but it's like mm-hmm. plus the like populations can be so different. That's like
exactly
sea turtles are obviously like endangered, but in some areas they are doing a lot better than others. Exactly. And that's the thing, like my professor would always get on us when people be like, save the sea turtles. He's like, yes, but like also be aware of the populations and that one country may have a better like standing with their green sea turtles than another. Like in Hawaii, we have so many turtles, and he's like, they're okay. And he actually he jokes about how he thinks that like the natives again should be allowed to like hunt them if they want. Like we have so many turtles. Of course, like we still need to preserve them just because we have healthy stock. Is it healthy for a reason? We can leave it alone. But that's one thing we learned. He tried to like teach us was like, we can't just broad stroke a species that's in every ocean. And that depending on where they are is going to have a different conservation status.
Exactly.
Which is super important. It's like,
Yeah, it's very nuanced instead of just saying they're endangered everywhere.
Oh yeah, there's so many nuances in conservation
Exactly.
in science. So you keep talking about your TikTok, which of course we're going to talk about because you have an awesome science communication platform on there, and you do awesome like skincare videos and whatnot. But how or why did you start? You kind of shared that it was like college application, but did you start with the intention of making content, or did you start kind of like, oh, I'm just gonna like doom scroll all day and then got inspired?
So I hate to be that person who's like, I started this as a joke because like everyone says that when really they didn't. But I actually did. I posted one video making fun of my public high school that I went to and how horrible and like crazy it was. And it blew up overnight. I got like 1.7 million views. And then a week
Ooh.
later, posted another video, got like 2 million views. And at that point, I was like, wow, I have like 20,000 followers, and I have no way to pay for school because I'm financially independent. And like, because my college fund paid my first semester here. That was it. So lovely. And my financial aid was very messed up. And so I was like, shoot, I need to pay for this school somehow, or else I'm gonna have to drop out. And so I very much believe that social media is the neo-American dream, it's the new gold rush. And I kind of hopped on the train and started posting about my high school and stuff, like story times, I guess. And then people were like, well, how did you get into Cornell? Like, what are your stats and stuff? And so I started talking about all the different schools I got into, like Columbia and Duke and Cornell and yada, yada, yada. And people wanted to know. And so that kind of blew up. And I ended up getting to like 500,000 followers. And then I ran out of content. Lovely. My mom was
Ooh.
like, let's talk about marine biology. And I was like, oh, this is great. And I started doing like marine biology fact of the day videos. And that's kind of really how I blew up and started talking about like, I think one of my largest videos that was solely about like one animal was the Greenland shark. People were so fascinated by that. Talked about like the mantis shrimp, the pistol shrimp, all that stuff. And eventually I did more about like actual reefs and like areas and like these are like the craziest beaches and like stuff like that. And a lot of it was like relatively like clickbaity and sensationalized, but I
Yeah.
tried to do my best to be is like very, very accurate. And I do walk that fine line of like, you know, being palpable for the average person to like understand and not like bore them to death with like in-depth science or genetics or stuff like that, but also keep it like scientifically accurate and like, you know, within the realm of ethics and like not
Yeah.
sensationalize things or be like sharks are scary, like they're gonna like some of the craziest videos I see. I actually debunked because I have a series on that. And so that's kind of how I got into marine biology. And then skincare, I actually started doing like debunking like influencer products that are like marketed to people that like don't actually work. Because a lot of classes I've taken so far have actually been human anatomy and physiology because I was thrown into some pre-med classes against my will. Did not do well, but I passed and I
That's
got some
okay.
information on the way. And so I actually started using that to be like, well, this isn't actually how our integumentary system works. This isn't how these things work. This isn't how chemistry works. And that turned into talking about skincare and all the ways that's marketed. And eventually that became kind of like my other big niche. And those are the two ways that I like grow and make money for the most part. I was on Shark Week. So that was really crazy.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was a huge, like, oh my God, like I kind of made it. Like I'm doing Shark Week. Like what? Huge, huge deal. It was insane. And I've been able to work with a lot of different companies on like being more sustainable. Biossance is a really awesome skincare company. And the reason I love them is their parent company, Amyris, actually made the first vegan squalane. So they really
Oh.
worked to like phase out shark liver oil from all cosmetics. Like they're the company. And unlike a lot of other companies that like make something and then patent it so no one else can do it, they actually disseminated all of that information to everyone else in the industry, only like not for money or profit, but to actually stop the use of shark liver oil in cosmetics. And like that whole wave of using it kind of died out. Like the use of shark liver oil completely died out in most,
Yeah.
I think all of North America by about 2018, and almost all of Europe, except for a couple really antiquated companies in France. But so it's been really cool to like work with companies that have done so much to preserve like the ocean and the environment. And a lot of companies have made the move to use like ocean plastic as like their packaging and everything like that, and work towards a lot of green initiatives. I've been able to like get companies to like donate to certain causes and stuff like that. And like, it's been really, really cool to kind of like use like my position in the skincare industry to really work towards like more sustainability and education on the ocean and the environment and the animals that a lot of cosmetic companies used to abuse for product and profit and cheap ingredients.
Yeah, that's awesome. I have to ask. So, well, there's many things, but Biossance, wasn't that like an MLM at one point?
No, thankfully it was not.
Maybe I'm thinking, but I had an old teacher, maybe it wasn't an MLM, but maybe they had people that would sell. And one of my old teachers would DM me constantly trying to get me to buy it.
Biossance? Not like...
Maybe
like
it wasn't like, them.
Not like, because Biossance has never been an MLM. Thankfully.
Okay, so maybe it was something else. No, for some reason, I've seen it and I need to get that out of my head now, but I'll see it.
They've never been an MLM, thankfully.
That is so good.
Love them. But no, there's plenty of MLMs on TikTok. So there's like Beauty Counter.
It might have been Beauty Counter. I just know my teacher would be like, they're eco-friendly. And I was like, you can't just say that to me because I will go it all in looking into it. Oh
yeah, exactly. Like, no.
That's the issue. Yeah. But
thankfully, I've never worked with an MLM. That's the one thing the industry is very cognizant of, at least I'm thankful for, is everyone's like very anti-MLM in the skincare industry, unless you're like in an MLM, which gross.
I feel like the younger generation is kind of getting it, that like MLMs are sketchy.
Exactly, which is great. It's a very interesting rabbit hole that I spent a lot of time on.
And then your debunking series, I will say, I got one of the Megalodon videos, which I am eternally grateful for, because I made a Megalodon video and people were commenting like, you're wrong, you must have failed, like, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't know how to like better explain, like, I gave you the information.
I've made so many videos like debunking people. It like gives me an aneurysm. There was this one time this guy was like, there are oceans under the surface of the planet, like all this water, and who knows what animals could be living in it. Like, he showed like pictures of like sea monsters. I was like, you do realize that the water, quote unquote water, that's under the ocean is a hydroxyl radical or whatever.
Yeah,
it's trapped in ringwoodite. It's not like, unless there's an organism that can phase in and out of solid rock, don't think there's any animals in there. And like, his video got like 25 million views, and I like debunked it like 3 times, and I was just like, can I please stop getting tagged in these videos? And like, the Megalodon people be like, there's only 5% of the ocean discovered. I'm like, that's not true either.
And it's so fascinating that most people are scared of sharks, and then they just full-heartedly believe that Megalodon's out there, which I just find, wouldn't you not want it to be?
Yeah, I know. And I'm like, this alive? Thing big. Like, it was the big animal, guys. Like, it. And people were like, well, could live deep in the ocean. I'm like, no. Nope. Like, usually animals that have really developed like notochords or spinal cords and are hard-bodied animals, the deeper down you go, the smaller those types of things get. Like, they don't get bigger. Those are invertebrates. Gigantism does not translate over to like vertebrates. It's not a thing. Like, no. And I was just
I'm like, that's when we get down deep. One, that's not the environment, that like cold water, different kinds of nutrients, light. I'm like, there's so much more to the deep sea than I think people understand. People are kind of like, oh, we can't go down there, we'll get smashed. I'm like, it's so much more than that. There's a reason. There's so many more things about it that is so much more complicated. But yeah, like animals that are down there, it's not mermaids, it's not Megalodon. It's going to be gelatinous invertebrates and just little invertebrates. Like, there's two berms near vents. There's going to be like urchins, echinoderms, all that kind of stuff. There's deep sea tetrafores, mostly gelatinous or just invertebrate creatures that are slower moving. There are like crabs, but they're not giant sharks or mermaids.
I know. Oh my God. And when I tell people that the like origin of mermaids, the aquatic ape hypothesis, actually is a really interesting origin story, that literally this female scientist started it just to combat sexism. And like, it was a joke. Like, literally, she started it as a joke to like fight sexism in like the science industry. I did a whole video on this because I was like, okay, this is not real. This had to come from somewhere. Where did it come from? And I debunked the whole thing. But I was like, oh, didn't know that this was a joke to like make fun of sexism. And now we all are stuck with the idea that mermaids are real.
I made a mermaid video too. I was like, I hate to tell you guys, mermaids aren't real, because someone was posting videos from the mermaid mockumentary. I love it. It's hilarious, but it's not real. But they were posting it like as real footage. And I was like, y'all, mm-hmm. this is fake. The FBI okay. or whatever is not hiding mermaids from us. Mermaids, if they were real, would look extremely different. And like, we have ideas of maybe where myths came from of mermaids, like yeah. dugongs, manatees. Some people suggest maybe even belugas because they got like
the needs. Yeah,
they look weird. There's, it's like sea serpents are supposed,
or fish
are, yeah, but. Or whale penis. That's one hypothesis, lovely. Which I love telling people. But it's like there's maybe good founding, but every time a mermaid body's been found, it's been debunked or not turned in to be evaluated because it's a sewed up fake body, and exactly. footage is debunked, and people were like just like really mad at me, and I was like, I'm really sorry.
They get so angry.
The mermaids aren't real.
What do you know? And I'm like, you know, like kind of a good amount, like kind of just a little bit, like enough to know that the megalodon is like not real, like it's dead. I was like, why would it just like disappear from the fossil record for like,
it's not hard to kind of put together,
poke holes in it. And I'm like, that's just like, I could go on a tangent about the fake news and the stuff that I like encountered, just the most blatant, like just like one guy was like, oh, if the megalodon's like in the Maritime, it glows because it lives deep in the ocean. I'm like, most of the animals that glow are passive predators.
Yeah, we just found a bioluminescent shark. Like yeah. this week was the study that got yeah. published. So you're far ahead of us, dude.
I know. I will say, I did a video. This is like one of the highlights of my like TikTok. I felt so validated. I did a video. I was like, are there any large sea monsters like left in the ocean? I was very quick to be like, by sea monsters, I mean large vertebrates or macroorganisms, like right off the bat, but like kind of the clickbait title, but very quickly, no, stated that. I was like, if there were any large invertebrates, it'd probably be like squid or something else like that.
Yeah.
And then I was like, if there was a large vertebrate, it would be a type of like beaked whale because they're like super deep. They really go to the surface. And like 6 months later, they found a new species in like Gulf of Mexico. I was like, oh, not me knowing that, like predicting it. I felt so validated.
Exactly. And like I think one of the things I said was that when there are, of course there are new creatures. We haven't deeply discovered the entire ocean. We know there are things out there that we aren't aware of, but we can kind of place areas where they would likely be.
Exactly.
Based on context clues, phylogenetics, that was a big thing. I was telling people like, mermaids just don't make sense. Like,
exactly.
Whether or not we have proof, I can tell you that from our phylogenetics, evolutionary tree, they don't fit in.
Exactly. I'm in like my phylogenetics unit, my evolutionary bio class. And it's like, exactly. There's no, it's just, it makes so much yeah. like sense, but then like people just like don't want to believe it. And I'm like, I'm sorry. There are plenty of other interesting things besides mermaids that are very real and like reality.
Yeah. I think like the pygmy sperm whale is so interesting.
Oh,
and under taught, like there was a video on TikTok that actually went viral at one point. I don't think I didn't have a platform then, so I didn't duet it, but I shared it on Instagram and talked about it when it inked and kind of like went up on the rocks and swam away, and it was getting chased, I think, by like a shark or something. Mm-hmm. People thought it was like an octopus. I was like, that's actually a whale that inks. And it's really weird, this weird little creature, and people don't know about it. And I'm like, those are so cool. Let's talk about that and not comment on my videos telling me, well, we've only discovered 5% of the ocean, which again, I'm like, no.
Like maybe like 20 years ago, but like now that we have like mapping and like everything else, it's like, and again, like we would still know, like
yeah, there's context clues,
like shark.
Well, yeah, and even like this, the whole like 5%, which is, it's 20%. NOAA has said that 20% has been charted and like quote unquote more fully discovered. A lot of the rest is either just uncharted. We've explored it, but like we don't have the ability to like create either a map or like really understand it. It's not that we like just are like, oh, we only know 20. We have ideas about the rest. We
don't have clear mapping.
And we don't have technology to
For time. I think,
it's
so long.
Or the money.
Yeah,
since that too. The environmental sciences is underfunded.
I know. People are like, we've mapped more of the moon. I'm like, yeah, because there's not a bunch of fucking water in between everything.
You go there like
there's no
every
water.
3 years.
I know. I'm like, maybe because there's not a bunch of water covering like all the, like water kind of disturbs a lot of different like lasers and sonar and everything else, like surprisingly. So that kind of impacts our ability to map things to like a really good degree of clarity.
I think some scientists, I saw from another person recently this week that they are starting to create a deep sea coral reef map by like stitching together photos. So those are starting to come along, and there's technologies we're figuring out. But so I always tell people, I'm like, the idea of like undiscovered is, again, nuanced.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't like we just have only looked at like 20%. It's that there's so much more that like we can't constantly be down there. Like exactly. With a rainforest or something, you can kind of like put a camera.
Exactly.
It's much harder to do that with water. Even with like shallow reefs, it's so much harder. Like if you watch Chasing Coral, they even struggle just to plop a exactly. camera down there. And I've been to the patch reef that they did it in Kaneohe. Those like, sometimes you're swimming so shallow, like there's this much water and you just get coral scrapes. It's not deep water.
Yeah.
But
exactly,
it's water, and water is so much different than like going to the moon, doing studies in the forest. And that's mm-hmm. what I'm just like, I'm so like, there's no such thing as dumb questions, I know, but there are sometimes dumb questions. Someone told me that mermaids are real, but we can't see them because we're on the wrong vibrations. That was a comment on my mermaid video. And I think I just replied with, ma'am, this is a science account. Like,
oh my God, I posted a video. That was like, I started a new series literally last night, and it was like history of like our oceans. And I started at like 4.4 billion years ago when the earth finally cooled down and like started raining and like filling up the oceans. And people were like, none of this is true. Like the earth is 3,000 years old. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, I can't deal with this. Like, no.
Shoo.
No. I was like, please leave. And oh my God, just like so many comments. And they were like, blah, blah, blah. Like God is the creator. And I was like, look, you can have your beliefs.
Oh my God.
I'll have science. But like, leave me alone. Like,
there's also, I went to a church school. So like, there are kind of ways you confuse them together, which mm-hmm. I find so funny. Like what we learned about, my teachers all believe in evolution. A Mormon school believe in evolution. But it's this, and kind of the idea that it really depends who you talk to. But a lot of that my teachers, and I would maybe say people in the faith, kind of depending on how educated they are, may acknowledge that like, oh, the creation wasn't a literal 7 days. It could exactly. have, that could be that entire process of evolution of like dinosaurs, la, 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 all the way to Adam and Eve. Like, you know, it's kind of a way I think a lot of people of faith can cope with science and mm-hmm. have them go hand in hand, which I think is great because then Christian science, there is room for Christians in science.
Of course. And there were a lot of people like that in the comment section. I was like, thank God.
Thank you.
While, I get these questions, I get these comments and I'm like, okay, they're like, not you spreading like false info, like
the 3,000 year.
I'm like, oh my God,
no, respectfully, like, no.
Yeah, people are like, oh, you're the devil. I'm like, okay, I'm.
First of all,
I'm like, okay, you're not wrong.
Yeah, Satan's
like,
trying to teach you about the ocean.
Science. I was like, okay,
that's how you're gonna fall away. Careful.
Exactly. I was like, God, not me teaching you about fish. Like horrible.
It's like that new. What's that new trend where it's like Satan couldn't get to me in one form, so he went about this way.
Oh my God, I know.
No, it's you teaching so literally marine science.
A fish and sea slugs. The invertebrates of iniquity.
Yeah. So obviously like you, all the science communication we've been talking about, which is great on the platform, what have you loved about it? Like, have you seen like a ton of great feedback? And then what other like downsides are there, maybe besides the dumb comments, if there is anything else?
Yeah. So what I love is it's kind of weird, but like a lot of people have been like, I've decided I want to do marine biology, or I've decided I want to go to Cornell. And like thousands of kids have told me like, I chose Cornell. And like kids on campus will come up to me and they'll be like,
oh,
hey, like I was watching your videos and like you inspired me to go to Cornell, or your college videos helped me get in here. And I'm like, that's crazy.
That's
like,
so cute.
I shifted like someone's entire like, or I helped or had a part in that, like shifting someone's entire focus to going to Cornell.
It turned biology. Into jelly just right then. Like,
it's crazy. It's like insane. Like one kid came up to me. I almost started crying. I cried like after he left a little bit. It's crazy. I was like, I'm not crying in public, but like, it was so insane. Cause like sometimes I get inundated with like hate, like especially from a lot of kids in the Cornell community. It's very toxic here sometimes.
Mm.
About like me being a content creator and being someone who does it and is like very popular. Like on like TikTok here, not really, but I have my friend, so it's all good. But so it's very interesting. So every once in a while, it's very nice to feel appreciated and feel like I'm doing some good and like really getting people to donate to certain causes or switch towards using more environmentally friendly brands and things like that, and raising awareness for creatures besides like dolphins and sea turtles, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And share the spotlight.
So really, really, like, it's really beneficial. It's really nice and like awesome. And I'm very, very appreciative of a lot of the people I've met, a lot of other marine biologists and people in the industry and the field. And it's how I'm able to go to school. Like, you're kidding me? That's crazy. It's a huge privilege that I'm able to attend this university and pay for it on my own. And so there's a lot of great things, whether it's educating people or inspiring them, feeling like I actually have like a platform where I can have like a positive impact. You know, so that's so great. I will say there are definitely some negatives. I think I oftentimes walk a very fine line of trying to grab people's attention and maintain that like scientific accuracy and like validity and avoid like doing clickbait. And I've been very successful for the most part, I will say. I think like one time I like talked about the Cambrian explosion, which I have like, even though I have 60 seconds, really you shouldn't go over 45 if you want your video to actually be picked up by the algorithm. 45 seconds is kind of difficult to work with.
Yeah.
Not so, like, and I made like some, I was talking about octopi or octopuses, and I was like, oh yeah, like cephalopods arose like roughly around the beginning of the Cambrian explosion, and octopuses haven't had like that many close common ancestors since, which like, I mean, in comparison to like how different octopuses are from like squids and cuttlefish, like genetically,
yeah,
like, those are their closest common ancestors, but like they're still genetically very different in comparison to, like humans and chimpanzees, for reference, like we share like 98% of the genes. So it's just like, I'm just like trying to like put it in like perspective for people to like in layman's terms, and like it's hard sometimes. But like, I'm just trying to be, and like, I'll always like cite my sources or add like links or everything in the comment section videos when people are like, they want to get like the in-depth understanding or the more sciencey things. Cause I'm not going to like talk about, like, I can't really explain how like octopuses like edit their mRNA and like switch out different things with like isoleucine and all that stuff. Cause the person's not going to get it. Like they're just,
yeah, they
don't have to, it doesn't, but some people just don't care enough to like, which so valid, so valid. Not everyone's favorite thing is learning about like different, like acids and like proteins. But this one like science teacher like screen grabbed my video and was like, you should be ashamed of yourself for going to Cornell and like talking about this stuff, like blah 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 blah, like this is bad science, like you're not a real scientist, like I thought you were just some random person on the internet, but like really you're like this person, like it's so embarrassing. And just like dragging me to the
why point.
I was like, God, like it was so brutal. You would think that like I was just like, sharks are man-eaters and killers, and like science isn't really, just tried to like eviscerate me. And then like they were like wrong in a lot of their like videos too. And, like some science, and I was like, damn, I was like, God, you think I like killed someone? So every once in a while you just get like utterly shat on. And it doesn't always, like, it's not always the worst thing. Every once in a while you get like shat on by someone, and it just like sucks because you're like, damn, like I've, it like it gets to be a lot, but I kind of just have to like center myself and think like, okay, I have this great platform, I'm able to like meet people, and you have to like center yourself, think about the good, because if you don't, the bad can sometimes be very overbearing, especially at an environment like Cornell where it's very competitive and judgmental, and it's about like who's more accomplished and who has a leg up. And the gay community can also be very toxic here, and just in general like very like competitive and like, I don't know, it's just weird. And I feel sometimes like kind of a social pariah on campus, because I've definitely taken some pretty strong stances against things like Greek life, which I just, based on like personal history, like
people
I know have like died in like hazing incidents in high school, like people who are close to me or my best friends. So I've, and stuff like that. Like I'm someone who's very much an open book, very honest. I'm not gonna like lie about how I feel. Like I've always been open about being an atheist, and like as like a queer person, like how I feel about religion, and like,
which is great.
Yeah, except it's not.
Except, yeah, except it's not when people.
So every rose has its thorns. We'll just say that. But at the end of the day, I am in a very privileged position to be able to go to this university, to be able to afford this university, to be able to take care of myself and pursue my passion and like have a job that allows me to make these great connections. Like at the end of the day, all the positives just vastly outweigh the negatives. And it's very much so about not focusing on all of it and like focusing on just all the noise is kind of how I try to think about it, because at the end of the day, that's all it is. And there's so much like crazy good things that just like freshman year high school me would just never like imagine, like a, like 4 years later, this is where I'm at. It's crazy.
Well, and like one thing with, I mean, when people like reply to a video or think like, oh, because you said my other students are kind of like maybe rude about possibly your platform and what you do, it's like coming into the marine science community, there is a lot of weird stuff like that that does happen. And I think it really does stem from personal pride and this weird competitiveness that's either human nature or just you think your study's better or you think you do a study better. There's a lot of that in the field, which is so like annoying. It creates drama and it's so sad to see people like instead pit themselves against each other. And even like when you have to like correct someone, like if your video did have a fact wrong, there's a correct way to be like, hey, you're a student, that's okay, I'm gonna correct this. Like literally, I have videos where I kind of was like, oh, 5% is, we have a 5% of the ocean that is fully charted, but the rest, but like, and now it's like, that's obviously different now, we know it's 20%.
Exactly.
Like, and someone could come back and correct it. And there's so many, like, it's okay to learn. I learn constantly. I've gotten corrected on stuff.
That's another thing. It's like, learning is a constant process, like nothing is stagnant, especially in science.
Especially,
and, oh my god, people will get like, you were wrong like once, or like slightly, like I wasn't like hyper specific, like just in depth to the point of like, and people are like, you just don't know anything, and like all your views are wrong. I'm like, okay wait a minute,
it's not how that works.
It's not how that
especially
works.
Especially, you go into so many different aspects of the field, whereas a lot of other people will pick their one niche, like people who maybe do shark physiology, sharks and ray physiology, going to stick with that. Someone else who is doing medical research, stick with that. But you're doing like the entirety, like from the beginning of the ocean, you'll do specifics on species, like highlights, debunking, like all over the place. I'm sure at some point, something's going to be maybe a little bit wrong. A source isn't super correct. Plus, like, you're probably learning a lot of that as you go. I think Hank Green made a really funny video where he was like, people ask him questions like, how do you know all this? And he's like, Google. It's like, I've had to Google stuff when people ask, and that's okay. I don't remember everything from university.
And people are like, oh, you just get stuff off Google. I'm like, like
the resource. Surprise.
Like, it's a resource. It's like, it depends on where you get it from Google. Like,
of course,
you're getting it from like, I don't know, like QAnon, or you're getting it from like a reputable like source. Like, yeah, it's important where you get it from. But like, Google, there's like this stigma around like Google and Wikipedia and like all stuff. It's just like,
there's proper ways to research.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Google Scholar, going to JSTOR, Nature, like journals, whatnot.
Exactly. Like, I'm just like, sorry, like I'm not gonna like go to like, I love the Cornell libraries, but I'm not gonna like hike all the way across campus and like look in like the Dewey Decimal System to like find something. Like, I'm good.
There's also books that aren't even that accurate.
I know, but they're old.
I was looking through, it has a new update, but the book I had at my university called Orca, the Whale Called Killer, it's supposed to be like currently the most expansive book about killer whales. And in the end of it, in the version that I had read, it has all the captures, dates, and information about them. And some of it was wrong. And I was like, okay, I know this isn't true. I know Corky. I know like these whales and none of this is true. And the updated version might be different, but sometimes like books can be out of date if your library is not on top of new, especially in environmental books, sometimes they don't keep as up to date on them.
Yeah, and it's difficult too, because you'd have to update every single, like, all the time. And like literally in one of my classes, one of the professors or TAs, someone teaching, was like, the megalodon got to over 70 feet long. And I was like, it just didn't, like, no, it did not get that large. And it's like, everyone's wrong at times. And it's not the end of the world. Doesn't mean they're not qualified. Doesn't mean they're like an awful scientist or like awful person. I'm just like, okay, like, look.
I have for sure messed stuff up when I was teaching as a TA. Like, I would end the class and be like, I definitely mixed up the couple of those facts.
And it's like, just like the world keeps turning.
Yeah.
No one's gonna like have, and on TikTok, it's like you mess up one thing and you're like, I made a video about the video blew up too. I made a video about the ocean sunfish like dragging it. Cause I was like, okay, it's, I just like, I
oh,
like
that. I remember that one.
I got so because much hate.
Me and my friend loved the sunfish. And we were just like, this is so mean.
I have an irrational hatred of the creatures. I don't know why. I don't like them. They're so channels. They're so gross and useless. And they just spray out their babies.
Have you seen the babies when they breach though?
Ugh. There's so no cute. Reason for an organism to produce billions of babies, like a billion. They lay like 300 million eggs in like a cycle. It's billions of those giant pancakes.
They're so cute they're to me.
They're literally gross and they're covered in parasites and like their flesh is like a jelly. No, I'm not a fan.
I want to see one so bad.
I want to hit one.
Can people have opinions on that? But yeah, you don't have to hate someone. Fish.
I was like, it's a fish. Like, it's a fish. And
it's a big fish, but it's a fish.
Yeah. I was like, they're almost a form of macroplankton because people have like debates on that. I was reading like information and people were like, it's not like, this one person was like, you're so stupid. Like, it's a fish. It's not plankton, blah, blah, blah. Like, you stupid idiot. And I was like, it's a debate. Like, not everyone has to agree on everything in science. Like, it's a fish that can like, that like is impacted by tides and like currents. Like, when an animal can't autonomously move,
they don't
in the ocean,
do much.
It was like
they're really cool from an evolutionary standpoint.
Yeah,
the fact that they don't do much but they produce at such an enormous level,
so many
why
eggs. So I feel like that's the only way they're still around.
They're so useless.
They eat jellyfish. Like they eat the one thing that has like nothing. It's mostly water. It's like if you lived off of jello.
Yeah,
and could anyways, but
then
like,
there's so many debates in the field. Even it's like I love tenophores and there is still a conversation on whether tenophores should be a cnidarian or not, and whether if like teens colloblatt, like all those different things, like if their sticky cells are actually the stinging cells, like in a matter, like there's all these debates and that happens, and I'm very much like, no, tenophores is separate, leave them alone, because I love having a whole separate phylum away from cnidarians, but then like debates happen, that's normal.
Exactly.
Yeah, and like the mola mola debate really just comes down to if you think they're cute or not. Because we can acknowledge evolutionary, they're super cool. But obviously some people think they look like the dumbest animal ever.
Yeah.
And that they're useless. And then there's other people who think that they're cute, but they're useless.
Yeah. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. And someone was like, you're like directly causing like the loss of conservation of like ocean something. I was like, I don't think they're like
I think they're fine.
I was like, they lay like 300 million babies in like one cycle. I think they're good. Like
I haven't seen anything about if they're threatened or not.
Yeah, I know. And I was like, they're good. They lay like billions of eggs in a lifetime potentially. They're fine. Like they're chilling. I'm pretty sure my fucking TikTok is not gonna be like
people are gonna go out and start
killing and like hunting. I was like, okay. Like, sure, it's fine. Oh, I was like, oh my God, the amount of shark demonization that goes on TikTok. So I was like, well, at least I'm not that person.
I got, I don't want to say hate. I don't know what to call it. But there's this one creator on there. I think it's like Jake PNW, and he does all those like shrimp videos.
Yes.
And he shared a video about he was going to California to get some kind of surgery, and he said shark infested waters. And I guess I was really early to the video, and I just commented, sharks don't infest waters, they live there. Like whatever. And I got like within 10 minutes 300 replies. People like, are you stupid? It's just sharks, basically that comment over and over again. And I had to delete my comment because I was like, I'm just saying like technically shark infested waters I think is a term. I don't like hearing it because they
like,
live
their
there
home like their home. God, how dare they infest their home.
So I was like, yeah, like the term is wrong. And plus like, if you are going to say infested, I would say like there has to be quite a few sharks in one area, and it's like slightly irregular. I would call that like, okay, yeah, infested.
And like infested, I would like lionfish infested waters, crown of thorns starfish infested waters, which is not as exciting as like sharks, but you know, they're actually infestations. And like another thing though, that this is like I'll be like, oh, like here's how you should like work to avoid sharks. Cause like you don't swim at night. Don't swim in big schools of fish. Spearfishing, not the safest thing. And like, there's simple ways to avoid
sharks. Yum, yum, yellow, murky water.
Like high contrast, shiny jewelry, which like, covered in it.
I wore jewelry diving, but like we would tell people, be like, yeah. Hey, if you do want, like, they're not really going to come up because there's other things we're going to be stimulating them with. But that is like, yeah, we've said that.
Yeah. And people are like, not you demonizing sharks. I'm like, okay, there's a difference, because some people are like, oh, they're so cute, you can just hug them. And I'm like, they're still a wild animal. Like, don't touch them. Like,
there's like a fine line
between. There's a fine line.
They're a sea puppy and dangerous. They're a predator.
Like, leave them alone. Like, just leave them alone. Like, don't. And it's like, people also don't realize that, like, when people get bitten by sharks or attacked by sharks, people then go out and kill sharks. Like, they do that. That is a pattern of behavior. And so, like, advising people on best how to, like, avoid sharks, avoid being attacked by sharks, avoid negative human-shark interactions is directly part of, like, helping them be conserved and, like, safe. Because then you have shark calls, which is, like, horrible.
Yeah. Well, and, like, I mean, if anyone who's, like, don't tell people how to avoid sharks, it's, like, go on a shark. I was an intern and worked with shark diving tours in Hawaii. And we would tell people that, those same things. Like, yum, yum, yellow is what we'd say with bright colors. I mean, if you had a bikini on, sometimes we would say like, oh, you might want to throw this on. Those GoPro handles, depending on like how active the sharks had been that day, we may let it happen or may not. Or if you're like, I had an orange one and I usually got to get in with it because I could handle if someone wanted to get too close to me. But like you say those things, like they are attracted to shiny objects. Like, and also maybe don't wear your jewelry in the ocean. You may lose it forever. That's just another caution. But there's other things that stimulate them. Having a GoPro can just stimulate them in general because of the electric and rays. Like they might come up and be like, what's that? So all these things. And that's just kind of like a little bit of safety tips. That doesn't mean they're like, hate sharks.
Yeah.
They'll hear the same thing on a shark tour from shark biologists.
It's like, they're a wild animal. Just like how you don't go up to a bear. Like, just because they're a big fish does not mean that they're going to be nice and cuddly. Like, you don't go up to bears. You don't go up to, like, wolves. Which I don't remember where the hell you, like, find wolves. But regardless, you don't go up to wild animals and be like, oh, it's going to be fine. And just and you're demonizing them or, like, making them evil. But, like, basic safety is so good. So, so good for everybody involved.
And basic avoidance. Like, I know. Murky waters, mornings and nights. Like, don't swim then.
Yes.
Like, know the species. You can kind of like look, like it's just kind of like borderline common sense, but it's not demonizing. But also at the same time, you don't want to be like, sharks are so cute. And
I know,
which happens now. People are like, sharks aren't dangerous at all. It's like, they are.
I mean, maybe not like a walking shark or something.
Yeah,
but like, okay,
you're okay with the nurse shark. Like,
yeah, like otherwise I don't, like, oh my god, like there are places, like I did a video on like the most dangerous like beaches, whether it's because of like crime in the area or like bacterial like infestation. One was like New Smyrna Beach, Florida, which was like the shark attack capital of the world.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, it was like 25% of all shark attacks. And I was like, 20% of all shark attacks is like, sharks don't usually eat people, or like not eat like people, but like don't do this stuff.
And when they do, it's usually mistaken identity or like a curious, like there was a bite in Hawaii. 2 years ago, there was a lot that led into that. It was not like, as you would say, the shark's fault. It was definitely the diver.
Yeah.
And there was like talk about if it was going to impact the dive tours around. And like, of course, like as a dive tour, it was talked about within us, like, but it didn't really get out too much. And of course, like the diver said, like, yeah, I was messing around. Like that happens, especially like in Florida, there are a lot of shark dives as well. And you got lemon sharks, you got bull sharks, very like curious species that are going to kind of come up to you. It's like oceanic white tips. Those sharks are one of like more aggressive, I put air quotes, because they're just curious and will just kind of come up and bump on you.
Exactly.
And, like, they don't have fingers to feel you out. So they might kind of like give you a little nibble.
I know, people don't realize how sensitive their mouth is either. And like how like able it is to like detect, like, I read an article somewhere where it was like they can bite you and like detect how much like blubber or fat you have on you. It's like, it was something really interesting. I was like, oh, I didn't like realize that, but that makes sense. Like, they're taste test bites and everything. Yeah. But
and more often than not, you're in the water with the shark and it swims away.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I tell people. I'm like, if you are to encounter a shark, there are some safety tips you can learn about how to deal with it. But you've probably been within 30 feet of a shark and they swim away. They don't want to deal with
you. You see that drone footage from above and you'll see like
a great white, like, oh,
Yeah, it's crazy. Like all the drone footage, like people swimming with sharks, and it's like so crazy.
Yeah.
Another thing people realize is like shark attacks, even out of the 242 shark attacks that happened in Florida over the last decade, zero were fatal. It's like getting bitten by a shark is rare. Dying by a shark bite is even rarer.
Rarer.
Like, I think there have been like
Yeah.
maybe four or five fatalities from shark bites in the US in like the last like 10 years. Like
Yeah, it's
the
not,
actual
it's so
fatalities
low.
are like so low. So it's like,
On It's so fun to like find like the weirdest statistics to tell on
I
tours.
know.
I'd be like, more people die from vending machines than sharks.
And
And they're
cows
like,
and
what
coconuts.
are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, people don't die. Like, it's your fears. I'd say it's relevant. They are scary looking animals.
Yeah.
But let's also learn a little bit.
I know. And it's
And
like
it's
you're the one
okay.
entering their home. Like,
But people are so like here and there on TikTok. Like, I'll get comments on my videos, be like, I would never do that. I'm like, okay.
okay.
Cool. That
Yeah.
doesn't change the fact that I did it like twice a week for a whole semester and then once a month for 2 years because,
Yeah.
you know,
And it's,
and a lot of people want to know like, how do I avoid working with sharks? Like, I want to do marine science, but I don't want to work with sharks. I'm like, then
don't
don't
work with
work with
sharks.
sharks.
It's really easy.
It's also super, that part of the field is so competitive now. I'm like, you probably
Yeah.
wouldn't anyway.
I know. It's like, okay, good luck with that.
Yeah, there's
Like,
so much like tiger sharks are a really demonized species, but
yeah.
I would say half the time on dives, a tiger shows up and leaves within a minute.
All those creatures, they eat each other in the womb.
And they're and like they're and
They're kind of
they're
iconic.
oh, I love them, but
I
they're
love
like shy, I would say. Not
that.
every individual, like younger individuals tend to come up more, and there are a couple older ones that like we do see. But for the most part, like we would always be like, hey, a tiger shark might show up, but there's a high chance it would just leave. We're very lucky if it does stick around. Obviously, those are the moments that get shared the most. Like the safety divers in ocean, they're going to share, obviously, when the tiger sharks stick around because you will get photos from that. But more often than not, they swim away. They come, look, and go away.
Yeah.
And that's just like, that's how most sharks are,
Exactly.
especially like great whites. Like, in that's it's. But yeah,
I want to swim with a
TikTok.
great white so bad.
Too.
They're
I know
amazing.
they do the cage dives in Guadalupe, which I want to do one day.
That's
They're
amazing.
so
That like
pretty.
video of like Ocean Ramsay free diving with like,
Oh my gosh, I was so mad that day because we had been out the weekend before, and it was so funny. So my friend Taylor, she's been on the podcast, but she had just moved. I think she had just moved to the island and was in her training. She didn't get to go. And it was just Ocean One, K, Cam, and then Forrest. He's like one of our safeties and a photographer, and they all got to go. And I was sitting in class with my other friend, and we both were working with One Ocean. And I pulled out my phone, and we just look, and I was like, "Are you kidding?
I would cry. I'd be so upset. I
Are
would just,
you joking?"
I would be so sad. I'd
Because
just be
they
like,
posted immediately. They were like driving back, and they were like, "Can't like they're all posting," and I'm like, thanks for the invite.
meeting a celebrity, but like better.
Not that they would, but like I was like, are
I
you
know.
kidding? And it was, and they were like, they were hoping to see tigers, and there had been multiple great whites seen, of course, but just like it was kind of cool. There's a lot of like hot debate about it, of course.
Yeah.
One thing like we all agreed on was they shouldn't have posted the day of, because then the next day, so many more. There were already a ton of people out there because other divers had been going out and photographing, so it wasn't, it was a mix of all the different like Hawaii influencers going out.
I made a video about that, about how like it was cool, but like not a good idea to post because then people started doing it and inexperienced people and everything. And I was like, this is like, because people asked me my opinion on that. And I was like, here's my opinion. People ask my opinion. And I'm like, and then they take it as fact. I'm like, okay,
Yeah, it's
my opinion.
and
It's
like
not a fact.
the same thing happened when we had sperm whales off of the North Shore this last summer. They posted, I think actually they may have waited a couple of days, but some other people didn't. And so then a ton of boats were going out. And so like I think they kind of learned their lesson. And a lot of people said like maybe next time wait, because there were already a ton of people out there, but there were more. Luckily the sperm whale kind of drifted off within the next week. And there weren't as many great whites seen. But it was a whole thing. And I just remember because we had to deal with a lot of like the social media clapback. clap back. Mm-hmm. And like some of it was fair. A lot of the touching wasn't necessary, but there was some redirection. There were like two videos where it was like kind of pushing away from the big crowd because there were a ton of people near that thing, which is just unsafe anyway, like feeding tiger sharks, feeding other sharks. Like I would only go with the people who I know about the sharks. So I would go with like Ocean and the other safety divers. It was me. Mm-mm.
I know.
I always tell them like, I would never get in with sharks alone. And I've learned a lot, but I was always like my friend, I was like Taylor who works there. I'm like, you're coming. I'm not going like to do this alone because I like having someone there that's more trained in it. But like, there's so much like when it comes down to like, especially the influencers in marine science, that it is like personal opinion. I got called out once because I was holding an octopus in a picture and someone sent me like a DM, like, do you think it's smart to be sharing this with your audience that you are holding an octopus that you like sought it out? And I was like, I mean, I guess like I could put it like a little disclaimer. I know about octopus behavior and only handle if you kind of understand when you see when they're stressed. But I was also like, octopus are like, they're at an okay conservation status.
And like, they're not exactly easy to find.
Yeah, I was like finding around, it in like, general.
Yeah, I'm like, okay. Like,
plus, people kill them like crazy in Hawaii because they're really yummy. But like, I've seen people with just like a truck bed and a whole line full of octopus. So I'm like, I think my 5-minute interaction is lower on the bar.
I refuse to eat them. I can't. I ate one once.
Oh yeah, I don't eat seafood anymore. But when I did, I loved.
Oh my god, octopus. I see. I've never eaten. I've only eaten like octopi once. I was too chewy.
I hate tuna. I don't like most fish, but when it comes down to crustaceans and cephalopods, delicious.
Mm-mm, I can't, but like good fish and chips. Key West had the best fish and chips. So good.
I do want to eat a lionfish.
I want to eat a lionfish.
I have told people I will eat a lionfish hands down immediately. They are
so good. That is like on my bucket list, is to eat like lionfish. Like if someone turned lionfish into like fish and chips. Oh,
I think there are like whole cafes or restaurants down in Florida that like are dedicated to like a lionfish menu. I think there's at least one. And there's tacos.
I like want like lionfish. Like that's like I want to eat. I've heard it's like super good. And I'm kind of like, you know, like I would chow down on this lionfish. Like, oh my god, like fried fish, but I only eat like fish and very like I only eat fish when it's like from the beach. It's like locally and sustainably sourced. Like I'm very like cognizant of that. And that's what I always say. It's like I never eat seafood when I'm not at the beach.
Yeah.
I just don't.
But even like the lionfish stuff is controversial. Like that's the thing. There's so much controversy within the field. Like whether from, I'd say the biggest stuff is like the whole Ocean debacle. Mm-hmm. People hate her. People love her. There's really one or the other. And it is kind of not infuriating, but it gets to a point where it almost bottles down sometimes into like blatant sexism against her. I've had to argue with people. I'm like, you can criticize her for her touching. I know that I know her behind the scenes and she is trying to work on kind of putting out that kind of content to say and being really mindful and then now disclosing like professional redirection purposes, please don't just go out and touch sharks. But then there's even like things that happen with, there's another creator on TikTok. She's native and she posts like the beluga videos, like eating beluga. And I made a comment where I was like, I think that'd be so cool to try. Like I'm a marine biologist. I love cetaceans, but I would kind of want to try beluga, especially like it's sustainable. Like they are so mindful of their catch and of what they eat. And you can really only have it if you're like friends and are invited. And someone replied and they're like, I'm a marine scientist too, but I would never eat what I'm studying. And I was like, okay, you're so cool. And then he like kind of got into an argument with me about it. Like, I'm just saying as a marine biologist, you shouldn't want to like kill what you want to preserve. I was like,
you never said you wanted to kill it though.
I was like, I'm not going out and killing it. Also, the way that so many like natives and First Nations people hunt is so much more sustainable than how you're eating a cow.
I know.
Like, for example, like maybe you're vegan. Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But there's, again, it's like there's nuance to everything.
I know. And people, especially on social media, it's like let's just throw nuance out the window. And I'm like, oh, okay,
there's great. Even nuance in like shark fishing. There are some towns where it's like local and they rely on the shark fin trade to feed their family, and you can't just like cut them off.
Exactly.
And you can't demonize them. And everyone has nuance. Like if you have a video that has something wrong in it, okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you're
help you.
A terrible student. It's not like you're spreading like horrible misinformation. Like people probably didn't know about it in the first place, for example.
Yeah, exactly.
Like about like the Cambrian, like when Seth, like. Because he was like, they have a common ancestor, but they're super close. I was like, okay, it's like high school biology, which I'm not shitting on that. But like, then he like said all this stuff about cephalopods that like wasn't right.
I was like, wait a minute. You're not right either. Like, you're more wrong than I am. Because he was like, cephalopods didn't arise till like 100 million years ago. And I was like, that's not true. They arose about 200 plus million years ago and like everything. And I was just like, okay, like just like precise data like that is like so, like, it's not that it's not necessary, but like in like a 45 second video, there's
not necessary.
And like if someone like it just like no one in like a layman conversation is gonna be like, yeah, like octopus now, like in the 21st century, their closest ancestors are still very genetically different from them.
Yeah.
Like, blah, blah, blah.
And if someone's really interested, then they'll look at, like, they can kind of, like, look at your sources you provide.
Exactly, which I always provide, or I'm happy to. Oh, my God, one person, like, dragged me, because I was, like, octopi have, like, so many genes, and, like, I was talking about how they have specific genes in, like, neuronal, like, development, cognitive speed, and, like, processing, and, like, lots of animals can have lots of genes and it doesn't necessarily mean something. But the fact that a cephalopod, an animal so different from us, has super like, has really, they have like more genes in like genetic coding and like cognitive speed and development and thinking than people, which is interesting because we have a very species chauvinistic view of like us being the paragon of intelligence.
Yeah.
This animal that's so different than us has like more genes in this specific area. And someone was like, this plant has like way more genes. Like your point doesn't make any sense. Just because something has more genes doesn't mean it's more developed or evolved. And I was like, that's not my point. I never said that. The point was that
this animal, it the bird of paradise?
No, it was a plant. Or something.
The bird of paradise plant.
Yeah, the bird of paradise plant.
Because I know like, that does have like a crazy amount of genes.
Yeah, and they were like, this plant has more genes. You're not saying it's smarter than people. I was like, you're two kingdoms. I was like, yeah, this animal in the Animalia kingdom that is so different from us developmentally, cognitively, like neurologically, is like, we always think we're the smartest, and this animal just shows up on the scene and it has more genes and like the same spheres that we would think that we're the like most superior of or at. And I'm like there's nuance, and I had a point, and this point just went over your head, and now you're dragging me for it. And I was like,
thank you. Oh my god, it's that's such a part of it, like whether I feel like anytime anyone gets a platform, someone else becomes a know-it-all, and there's always room for criticism. And that's like, I will always say that, even with someone that I love like Ocean, of course she deserves criticism. Everybody does. Everyone deserves. And if you're wrong, you're wrong. If there's something that you're encouraging that's wrong, people should be able to call you out on it. But I think there's always a right way to call someone out, and
there's that's like a way to the do biggest it without, thing like, obliterating a human being. Like there's
And there's things like, I think, what was it? I think you've made a video about SeaWorld or something. And I think when I first saw it, I was like, it was about rescue and then whatnot. But of course there's things that like weren't explained, but I was like, it's not in that video. But that doesn't mean like that's your well-formed view of SeaWorld or that everyone's, and I think you probably got a lot of comments like SeaWorld sucks underneath it, which I'm just like, shut up.
I was like, yeah, SeaWorld does some, because people were like, what's your opinion on SeaWorld? I was like, well, it's kind of a nuanced area, because like SeaWorld's like
unethical,
in my opinion, for keeping cetaceans, but then also
they
fund a ton of research and protection of like manatees, which
they also help fund southern resident killer whale research out here.
Yeah.
They help, there's like an $800,000 grant, maybe it's $500,000 grant that a bunch of different organizations can apply for, and they help fund it. It's kind of not super clear how much they fund. That is a little bit, And there's so much with SeaWorld that's so nuanced. I'm actually working on a video with my friend. We're like breaking down Blackfish because there's a lot of stuff in Blackfish I don't like. And I'm against SeaWorld. And I have like all the receipts about different things that are
the said. Guy I dated is a the first guy. He exposed, like he told me everything. And I was like, whoa, I had no idea. Like he showed, I was like, whoa, that's so crazy. Cause I didn't think about it.
I always give it like, 7 out of 10. It gets 7 because it does a great job introducing people to the issue of captivity. There were a lot of issues. There is debate about, however, it loses points because stories are taken out of context. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest issues with it that I'm going to talk about is the issue with Kelty Byrne, who killed her. And in the documentary, they're like, oh, it was Tilikum, because they say his fin was flopped over. However, all three orcas in that tank had their fins flopped over.
And like even and in that, nature, orcas have their fins flopped over just to decrease in collagen.
Well, and so with this issue, it's like these two women also were not taken or were not on the official written up like police report, basically. So, which is weird, but they stage it in a way. They're like the one with the bent fin, Tilikum. And I'm like, all three of them had bent fins. That doesn't prove anything that he did it. Plus there's also the argument that he was a less dominant individual. Why would he be leading an attack? He probably was involved, but Haida and the other whale, whose name I'm forgetting, they were the dominant females. They wouldn't just let him lead something out like that. He probably participated. And there's all that kind of, there's so many more nuance in the movie that I'm just like, the movie's good. There are other better films that I would say, if you want to learn more about captivity, there are better ways to do it that don't rely on the emotion.
Exactly.
A lot of it has the same facts, but they don't rely so heavily on the emotion. They also don't talk about every issue. Like they don't talk about how bad their teeth are, which I'm like, dude, you could pull so much on SeaWorld about teeth, because so many of the whales have awful non-existent teeth, and that's something they don't cover at all. So there's so much with it, but that's the thing. Like anytime I've made videos about SeaWorld, if I am not outwardly saying I hate them, people think I'm like for them.
I know.
Like, there's a good middle area.
Yeah. It's like, I'm against some of the things they do, but also like environmental, like biology, we don't have a lot of funding. We don't have a lot of money. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot coming in. So you have to be kind of like thankful for what you can get. Like,
and appreciative, you know? of their rescue of exactly. That they do rescue sea turtles and manatees and cetaceans even, and sea lions. Like I think in exactly. California, they're the biggest organization that helps with sea lion rescues.
Exactly.
And so much of that. And it's like, they do good.
They do.
You can argue, you can get into the nitty gritties and you can argue if that balances out the bad. Of course, that's everyone's personal opinion, but they do some good and we can't discredit that.
Exactly. But,
you know, that's the thing. It's like, you can disagree with someone too and be like, ooh, but you don't have to be like a dick about it.
I know, literally. But
the internet.
Mm-hmm. The internet.
So now we're going to go into kind of like the last little bit. This has been super fun. What tips would you give to either current students or maybe aspiring marine scientists that are like in high school, middle school, that look up to you and just want to know all of your knowledge and tips?
I would say that there's a lot of pressure on STEM students and they believe that they have to be the smartest in the room or the best at a class. I got a D in one of my pre-med class.
Oh yeah.
I was like, oh my God, like I'm horrible. And it's like, no, that's just not, that does not. Like failure is just a different road to success. Failure is a learning experience. If you never fail, you never get better. You never teach yourself new ways to learn. You never improve. And so don't be afraid of failure. Don't be afraid of struggling. Even in high school, like AP Bio was one of the hardest classes I ever took, but it was also the most rewarding. And I say that all the time. And so it's like, just because something is difficult or you're not the best at it does not mean that you're not right for that position. Like, do not let struggle outweigh your passion. Like, be passionate. Just throw yourself into it. It's okay to explore and to struggle and to not find things. And you know what I mean? And like,
just
don't deny yourself the privilege of learning and trying your best because you're afraid that your best doesn't measure up or isn't good enough. Because there's no, in science, there's no right like there's not always a right answer. There's not always a perfect, stagnant, this is it. It's constantly changing and in flux. And that's kind of the nature of life and people, and especially the ocean too. So when it comes to marine science, just follow your passions and your heart, and really don't hold yourself to an impossible standard, because that's not how you succeed. And that's something I've really had to teach myself, especially as like a student.
Yes, especially the grade thing. There's such a focus on grades and like holding yourself, even almost like, I know for me, like your own self-worth with how your grades are. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to struggle. And people always ask me, like, I'm not good at science. I'm not good at math. Should I do this field? I am not good either.
I'm horrible at math. I'm awful. I literally, calculus like eviscerated me.
And there's there's so much. I'm like, first of all, C's do get degrees. Obviously, I would be really conscious of grades if you're pursuing more academia. However, even then, they often look at your experience first and then your GPA and then your grades. And even then, a lot of people do understand, oh, some classes people just aren't great at, and that's okay. Yeah. And that's, I just, I'm always like, it's okay to struggle. You don't have to be like, oh, I know it all about biology. I definitely didn't know it all about biology going into this. I had taken, I think, classes. On biology before coming into this. When I went into college, I had just come off of 2 years of physics, and I had taken biology in middle school, and that was the last time I'd ever taken a bio class. And I ended up taking one of those really like dumb intro classes just before I started getting into the higher reps, because I was like, you know what, it's going to put me behind a little bit. Obviously, most of my peers were already in Chem 1, bio 112.
I'm taking chem over the summer at a community college.
Yeah, and like it's okay. I took a 101 class that was so easy, and a lot of it was meant for the students that struggled with English, and because my university is mostly foreign students. And then when I went into my higher up bio classes and my chem classes, there was like no one from my like official grade entry point that I was with, because they had already taken them. But I took the time to not. Just so I could, and that's okay. And I still struggled. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I hated chemistry. Oh, I suck at chem.
I'm so scared for Orgo.
I passed that through like miraculously. Every semester I was like, I'm going to fail this, and that's okay. I'm going to retake it. And by some grace of God, I did not. And I was able to pass.
Exactly.
And that's okay.
And it doesn't mean you're like a bad scientist or a bad student. You're going to be a bad marine biologist.
Some people are great in chem, but not great in like zoology or even like classes that someone else may find easy. Like,
exactly.
English comes super easy to me. I always give this analogy, but I know it's crazy to me that so many people hate it and cannot pass English classes, because I can do it with like minimum effort.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's how that works. That's how your brain works. That's how you work with like even like your motivation and what comes naturally. That's normal. So that's perfect, especially getting D's, man. D's can get you a degree. Be careful how many D's you have, but D's can get degrees.
Only one, and I think I learned my lesson about doing pre-med courses. Oh my God. My first semester of freshman year, my faculty advisor put me in he put me in biological oceanography, physiology, anatomy for pre-meds. I was taking French intermediate. I was taking bio lab. And I was taking biological oceanography, five classes. It was awful. Horrible.
So there were semesters like I had to drop a couple classes because it was too many hard classes at one time. I was like, I'm dropping, exactly. I'm picking up something else. And that's okay. It's okay to admit that it's hard and that you either weren't prepared or weren't trying, and then just doing something else for a little bit. Plus, exactly. Like, take a mental health break. Like, that's a huge part, too. Have a semester where maybe all your classes are more fun and you have, like, one serious class. That's okay. It's college. Anyway, So, I think that's great. I love that. Second to last, what are your goals in this field? Where do you want to kind of go? Are you thinking of pursuing research in marine science? Are you maybe now like, has TikTok changed everything? Is it science communication, TV show celebrity?
I don't know. TikTok is something that's very, it's a very strange position, because it does give me a lot of other avenues that I don't have or didn't have before. So I think it kind of depends on a lot of things. Hopefully, I finish up Cornell with a decent GPA because I do want to do grad school eventually. I've been thinking about Harvard and Yale and Brown or Princeton as like grad school choices, but also Cornell's really hard and also school is really exhausting. And I don't know if I can jump right back into more education after 4 years of Cornell. So, I mean, I would love to get a job or a research position, whether it's at an aquarium, whether it's at like a research center or marine lab when I have my degree. So it's kind of something I'm always figuring out. And TikTok is just another way to like pursue. I know the job market is always in flux. And so the fact that I have kind of a safety net of like a job and like money and like that freedom to like figure my stuff out is so nice. So I guess I'm kind of just gonna see where I end up and figure things out as I go.
That is a perfect answer. And that's something like I know people that take 5 year gaps between their undergraduate and their graduate degree. And that's fine. Like, and you could just gain experience. I know a lot of people will say, some people will say a gap year is horrible, but I disagree. I mean, I'm in a gap year. I'm probably going to be in a gap a few years just because of projects and COVID and moving to a foreign country. Just other things pop up, and a lot of that's okay. Especially like
Exactly.
undergrad is a lot of work. Take a break. Go work, go have like work in an aquarium, gain experiences, maybe travel a bit. Like you're still young. It's so important. But there are some people who go straight back into it, and that's fine too. But
Exactly.
that's awesome. Would you research horseshoe crabs? Like, do you have an idea of what maybe your graduate you would
I
go
would
into
love to
for?
do octopus.
Okay.
I love them, octopuses, horseshoe crabs. I do enjoy sharks. Like the Greenland shark is one of my favorite animals. I
Yeah,
absolutely
cool.
love them. I don't know, stuff like that. Definitely. Those are all things. Nudibranchs. I love the photosynthetic sea slug. It's kind of interesting. So, but I'd probably end up with invertebrates. I do love
Yeah.
inverts. That's where my love started. So one of those creatures is definitely where I'd end up
It's a
studying.
little less competitive than
Yeah, that
the
too.
megafauna.
That too. Really important point.
That is a per I found that messaging professors who are like looking for grad students, when you message one who is like in inverts or like gelatinous plankton is a big one for me, they get really excited. They're like,
Yeah.
you want to do this like as a
I
first
know.
choice, and it's
I
really
know.
fun.
People are always so surprised when I'm at the aquarium. The guy I was with, he was like, "What do you like?" I was like, "Inverts." He's like, "Really?" And I was like, "Yeah. Like, what's not to like? They're amazing."
Like no
So,
shade to the big stuff, but
you know, but exactly.
and so lastly, plug anything that you want to plug. So share, of course, probably your TikTok and social media, but is there anything else you want to share?
So definitely follow my Instagram. It's JC.Dombrowski, the same as my TikTok. So, you know, pretty much the same thing there. I post lots of interesting content, and then I did want to talk about the South Padre Island Sea Turtle Rescue, Sea Turtle Inc. I think that they definitely need some extra donations and love, considering the cold snap that just occurred and all the frozen sea turtles that washed up because reptiles surprisingly can't handle. So they definitely need some extra love and help and donations during this time. I think it's really important that I would like to point people's attention to. So yeah, that's my little closing spiel for the end.
Yes, and they have like an adoption program. I know some people are weird about just donating, sadly. They like an incentive. So there is a donation program that you guys can do, and there is the adoption program where you get to like pseudo adopt a sea turtle, which is super cute. And maybe that's also not in for people. There is Fin Pin Shop has like these little baby sea turtle pins. You can buy those and they'll donate part of the proceeds. But honestly, just donate directly. That is so much more beneficial. And all of this will be linked below. I will do the Sea Turtle Inc. and then specifically their adoption program. So people can take a look at that. I think it's adorable. I almost adopted one, but I didn't have, I think it was like $60. But we just did a donation because, oh my goodness, their footage from the cold snap was crazy. And I ended up having a follower message me like a week later. Oh, this picture, she's at the beach and she just sent a bunch of pictures. She's like, what happened to these turtles? And there were just tons of dead turtles. And I was like, oh, are you in Texas? Like, she didn't tell me where she was. She just sent pictures and said, what happened? And I was like, are you in Texas? And she's like, yeah. I was like, yeah, the cold stun. And it was so sad. There was, and they were like smaller turtles too, green sea turtles. And I was like, that's so sad. But it obviously devastated so many animals. And so happy they were able to save at least the amount that they did. So that's perfect. And that's such a great plug. So everything will be linked down below. You guys know the drill. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It was an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much.